Welcome to Jim's Movies and Junk. I'm Notorious J.M.
And I'm Julian.
And today's episode is not going to be about just one simple movie. It's going to be about an entire year of movies. We're talking about 1984. What people consider to be one of the best years in film. This year brought a lot of classic movies that actually stand up to this very day. And it's amazing that so many movies came out in one year. And a lot of movies we remember from the 80s are actually just this year, 1984.
Yeah. And as I'll point out later, even two movies released on the same day.
Yeah, which you would think would totally compete with each other, but both lived on to be classics.
And then what's funny is a week later, another classic was released.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of don't want to like say it's all nostalgia. I'm sure like there's things on this list that I have on here or that, you know, you can point to be like sort of nostalgia based or, you know, kind of grew up with it. And that's what makes it so memorable. But at the same time, I feel like there is just a lot of movies that people point to as fucking classic movies that are on here.
These are really good movies, regardless of what people say. All of these movies are classic, or at least we know them and we look back at them with fond memories. Some of them we look at and laugh at, but...
Yeah.
But in the end, you know, these are movies we know. And I think they define the 80s.
Yeah, some of them do. I mean, there's a few that came out the next year, Back to the Future, comes to mind. But there's a lot here that even if you weren't born in the 80s like we were, or this year, because I was born this year in 84.
Yeah.
That, you know, even like if you're a 16-year-old who happened upon this podcast, even you might like know some of these movies.
And if you're a 16-year-old listening to this podcast, then you know so many different curse words and bad language you shouldn't know by now, but, you know, fuck it.
But tell your parents, fuck them.
Yeah, fuck them. We'll start with a movie I never heard of before, but you know a lot about. Angel.
Do I know a lot about Angel?
You know, did you know more than me?
Well, I've seen it. I guess that means I know more than you. Angel's significant for one reason. The poster had the tagline, "Schoolgirl by day, hooker by night."
Which is right up my alley?
Maybe. Right up my alley, question mark?
Maybe.
But it's just like a shitty film that people remember. It's sort of like something people point to as like a genre piece. Sort of how you would talk about Miss 45 or something like that. Sort of like these little known movies that sort of the art house or...
Like The Crying Game or something?
No.
But it's like...
The Crying Game's more of a serious movie than Angel. And it's sort of like how if you went to, like, film school, people would try to, like, wave their dick around about how much they know about film.
Oh, okay.
It's one of those, like, have you heard of this? But for the 80s.
Basically what you're doing currently, but in the 80s.
Yeah, why not? I mean, I've seen it. Have you? Have any of you out there?
Okay, the next movie we actually talked about in a way, shape, or form with the remake that I forced you to watch.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't think we're going to spend much time on it, but basically Footloose was released this year.
Jump back. Talking about Footloose. But, I like Footloose. I don't think it's, like, great. It's not, like, a seminal film the way people would think, but to get a remake, keep in mind the remakes that have been made of the movies we're about to mention, by the way.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Like, I like it. I don't love it. I wouldn't suck its dick or anything, but...
You tickle the balls a little?
Maybe. I'd compliment it if I saw it out in public.
Yeah.
I'd give it, like, the nod, hey, what's up?
Might even buy it a drink.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's about it as far as you go.
Yeah, I'm not gonna make it look bad like I did this one broad at... Oh, man. This is a story you can cut out, but I was at a fucking bar one time. And I was talking to this girl, and her friend, we can assume she's maybe a bigger girl, was like cock blocking hard.
Yeah, because that's what they do.
And I didn't say that. That's
I did.
That was Jim, you know, the sexist one of the group.
Ah, come on.
And so she was cock blocking hard. And I was like trying to talk to her friend. She comes in, you know.
She posted up, but tumbled you?
Yeah, she waved a finger at me. So, as the night went on, I'm still, like, talking to the group she's with. I'm being nice to everyone. Later on, I catch her by herself. And I like have a drink with me, and I'm like, hey, you want to get out of here? And she's all like, but I thought you were talking to what's her name. And I was like, no, I meant, do you want to fucking leave? Because nobody wants you here at this bar.
God. God. Jump back.
And she ran away crying. And it's not, I guess, not the proudest story I've ever been involved with.
No, let's just move on. Let's just move on. That's terrible.
Is it?
I'll add it to my stories of stuff you've done.
Oh my god. But they're not people. What do you
know? I'll share that with the audience one day.
Yeah. Not this time, though.
I'll keep it relevant. We'll talk about striptease or showgirls.
Yeah. Oh, I love showgirls. That is such a good movie.
Yeah, then we'll bring that up. I'll bring up that story. But it has to involve female nudity for me to actually make this story relevant.
Or stripping, I guess.
Yeah.
Wow, we're really laying down a lot of seeds for this story. I hope the buildup is worth it.
All right, moving on to Repo Man.
Have you seen Repo Man?
I remember seeing it. It was a long time ago I saw it, but Emilio Estevez, right?
Yeah.
Mighty Ducks, dude.
Mr. Mighty Ducks himself.
Yeah, the one that Martin Sheen doesn't really claim.
Really? I don't know why. You would think his son, Carlos Estevez, doing like pretty good for himself these days, despite his troubles, would still like find a way to involve his brother. But I feel like Emilio wants to kind of separate himself from the like fuck up family that he had, like fucked up family he
yeah,
has.
He wants to do his own thing and have his own career. And you know, I loved him in the Stakeout movies, him and Samuel. It sounds funny now you look back at it together in movies.
I mean, it's not...
No, that's not Stakeout. That was Loaded Weapon.
Yes.
That they were in.
I thought that was funny.
Bruce Willis was in it.
Yeah, for he had a cameo.
Yeah.
But we're not talking about fucking Loaded Weapon 1.
But, yeah. I remember he's driving around, he has an alien in the back. Well, they imply that he has an alien in the trunk of the vehicle.
No, he has like an alien car. It's like a spaceship.
Is it a spaceship? I thought he had something in the back, like an alien body in the back of it. Or...
No, remember if you open up the back, it like melts you into a pile of goo?
Yeah.
And, I don't know, it's sort of like, for the time, it was like the punk rock movie of its time.
Yeah.
You know, if you were like a counterculture type person, like you were kind of a Gen Xer of the 80s.
Yeah.
That's what you pointed to as like, you know, look at this movie. It's sort of like how people point to Clockwork Orange as being... You know, I grew up loving this movie, and now I'm into that sort of thing. I'm into, like, fucking, you know, punk rock music and stuff.
Yeah.
It was like that. Like, Repo Man, people still sort of reference it.
Yeah.
You know, it had, like, it was sort of mocking the idea that in movies everything has to be generic. So there's a scene where they go to a gas station, and all the beer is just labeled beer. Cigarettes are cigarettes. Candy is candy. And I don't know, it's weird.
Yeah, I think it holds up to this very day.
It's, oh man, like it's surreal. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like it's sort of a midnight movie type of thing. Like if you're into sort of midnight movies or cult movies, I would say Repo would be something you would want to see.
You think it'd be a stoner movie? Get a stoner movie in this day and age?
Yeah, why not? I mean, sort of like Blade Runner, you know, or Brett Favre.
Brett Favre for movies that we go to.
Our MVP of movies.
Yeah.
It's one of those to where, like, you could read in... Like, if you get good and stoned, you can read into it all the shit that you would want. And there's plenty of stuff to read into it, like I said, with the advertising and things.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like, I think if you're into that kind of shit, give it a watch.
All right. This is Spinal Tap, where they cannot keep a drummer.
And they can't keep a lot of things.
Yeah. Doesn't the movie end with like kind of having a big fight, and they kind of make up at the end? I'm gonna say make out at the end.
Yes, they make out. It's the hottest shit I've ever seen in my life.
A couple of spines were getting tapped that night. No, yeah. God.
They were tapping a spine through the back door. Let me straighten out that spine with some dick.
Oh God, it's well far too long. I remember it was, I remember them having a big fight. It got really serious at the very end of the movie. And I think they made up, didn't they? At the very end. I can't remember exactly how that was resolved.
Well, it was sort of like in the last third of the film.
Yeah.
it kind of comes to a head and they reconnect. The drummer explodes. They get a new drummer.
Yeah.
And they go on their Japanese tour.
Yeah, I know Pearl Jam actually made a joke about it that they had the same problem Spinal Tap has, so their drums kept leaving.
I mean, Spinal Tap, to me, Spinal Tap holds up. It'll always be funny. It could just be because I've seen it like at a young age.
Yeah.
But like, it also brought in that kind of improv movie.
Yeah.
That still kind of goes on Best in Show and shit like that.
Yeah, and not everybody gets the humor. Now, some people get it, some people don't. There's a lot of, I guess, like band humor, you could say.
Yeah, if you ever played in a band.
Yeah, you catch on to it yourself. And everyone loves Big Bottoms. Remember they actually had everyone, like every bass player in the world, to get together to play Big Bottoms with them?
Yeah, and they even introduced everybody and it took like 10 minutes.
Yeah, and that was just like introducing everyone.
And they were like, on the bass, this guy. And on the bass, this guy. And on the bass. Man, yeah. But like fucking the music in Spinal Tap is awesome.
Yeah.
Clearly, Amps to 11 is fucking lived on forever.
That has lived on to forever. They even made an appearance in the very first Guitar Hero. I'm not sure if it made an appearance in any other Guitar Hero, but I remember that being a big deal as well.
Yeah.
Like a lot of references towards Spinal Tap.
When you play the song, because they have the Spinal Tap song in there.
Yeah.
Your drummer explodes.
Yeah.
I don't know, just like a lot of shit about Spinal Tap has lived on. There's like four voices from The Simpsons in there.
Yeah.
And what else can you say about Spinal Tap?
This is an amazing film.
Yeah.
Funny film.
And
you know, just growing up playing music and being, because we were in a band, just growing up playing music and stuff, we caught all the jokes and it's just entertaining.
Yeah, like even before I was in a band, like even if you're not in a band, there's stuff there to enjoy. Yeah. That's, you know, the musical numbers are fun. Just the kind of sight gags and shit.
The witty comedy.
Yeah. And if you get the DVD or Blu-ray, listen to the commentary where they're in character. And it's sort of like a where are they now? They talk about, you know, which people are dead, who fucked them over in the music industry.
I've never heard the commentary before.
It's fucking awesome. It's one of the best commentaries like ever.
Is it better than Arnold? When he does commentary.
Anything is. Like, if you listen to Uwe Boll, his commentary is better than Arnold.
Really?
And there's even one where he gets up, makes a sandwich, takes a phone call.
Well, we'll talk about Arnold later on in this show as well, which I'll bring up his commentary for another movie. All right. I can't remember this movie exactly. Children of Corn. I remember some of the sequels. I can't remember the original completely. But I'm amazed it actually came out this year as well.
Especially one of the other movies we're going to get to. Linda Hamilton was in the first Children of the Corn.
Was she?
Yeah, she's the wife of the guy who like stops into town.
Hmm.
And like Children of the Corn is pretty good. Like, I like it. I don't love it. But the fact that it had like a billion sequels, I'm exaggerating. I think it had like six sequels.
I don't know. Didn't it have some sci-fi straight to TV sequels maybe?
Well, it had other sequels after it.
Yeah.
Like, even ones that didn't go straight to DVD. Fucking Eva Mendes is in one.
Really?
I think 666. Like, they didn't make 666 of them, but... Yeah, she's in one of them. Like, Children of the Corn's fun. It's very dated when you watch the acting and stuff.
Didn't they have one with Christopher Reeve in it?
Was there?
Or, like, a knockoff of it with kids being evil?
I think you're thinking of Village of the Damned.
Yes, I am thinking of Village of the Damned. But isn't that kind of a knockoff? Or did it come before?
I think it came after. Like, we'll get into it if we ever do John Carpenter.
Yeah.
Because he did that. But Children of the Corn was remade, I think, for sci-fi.
Yeah. Maybe that's where I got it from. Was it probably... Probably wasn't an actual sequel, but more of a remake.
Yeah, because they did try to reboot it. They even brought back the original Malachi to, like, play somebody and shit.
They also remade Firestarter.
Yeah, well, Firestarter came out this year as well.
Did it?
Yes.
Wow.
Another Stephen King property. Like, Stephen King was like, I guess when you think of books, he's like your go-to name for books.
Yeah.
And this year alone, at least, Children of the Corn's also a Stephen King thing.
Yeah.
And this year, I think, has two or three Stephen King adaptations.
We'll look into that.
Like, Firestarter, also Drew Barrymore trying to do her... I'm moving away from E.T. and trying to be in my own films.
Did she show her tits?
No, she was still like 8 years old.
No, not in this year.
My God. Sexist and...
No, I'm just saying, like, eventually over time, didn't she do that?
History's right. Greatest monster, everybody.
No. Like, later on in her career, did she do that to try to shake that good girl image?
Well, I'm no Mr. Skin, but if you've ever seen Riding in Cars with Boys, yeah, she does.
Okay. I knew that happened at least once.
Yeah. Well, on a long enough timeline, somebody's bound to, right?
Yeah. All right. I'm a little confused on the next movie. If it is what I think it is, it's fucking ridiculous. Splash. Is it the movie with Cher? Or am I thinking Mermaids?
You're thinking Mermaids. Splash is the one where Tom Hanks finds a mermaid.
Oh, okay, yes. I knew it had something to do with mermaids. I knew that.
And it's funny because he meets the mermaid and immediately thinks, how can I fuck this mermaid?
Yeah, he goes straight to try to fuck the mermaid. I remember that scene where she's
in the bathtub.
Yeah, I remember that. And she had to drive real quick for she to turn back to normal.
Yeah. And it's like, even before he knew she could turn into, like, human form, I guess, or have human legs.
Yeah.
He was like, I'm gonna fuck this mermaid.
No, I thought he didn't know.
Well, I'm saying before, yeah, before he knew. His idea was like, I'm gonna fuck this mermaid.
No, I thought he didn't know she was a mermaid, and then he discovered later on.
Did he? I could have sworn. I don't remember.
I think he tried to fuck her before he found. That's the reason why she tried to hide the fact she was a mermaid by drying off her legs.
Yeah.
Because he was coming to the restaurant. He was just barging in on naked women.
Jesus, Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks gonna show up later in this list.
Yeah.
But I threw Splash on here, not because it's a great movie to remember, but it kind of brings up that, like, falling, like, for some reason the 80s was big on falling in love with somebody who wasn't human. Mannequin, like to point to.
Also, yeah.
And, like, Teen Wolf, he's a wolf, but he gets the girl, and it's like, why in the 80s were we into, like, odd couples?
Just a touch on Teen Wolf for a brief moment.
Not 1984, by the way.
Yeah, not 1984, but... Yeah, he turns to a werewolf, has mad skills on the court. They're like, oh, well, fuck it, he's a wolf, but, you know, he can ball.
I like the idea that somebody's fucking appointed, you gotta cover the wolf.
Yeah.
Fuck that. I ain't covering the werewolf. I ain't playing no defense against the werewolf.
And then part two, they put you in a ring with a wolf and boxing gloves.
That motherfucker gotta murder you.
Right? God, this shit's scary.
Michael Bluth from Arrested Development's gonna murder you in the fucking boxing ring.
Alright, well, basically, Splash, Tom Hanks tries to fuck a chick, he immediately finds...
Is a mermaid?
He finds out that she's a mermaid. Doesn't stop him.
If anything, he wants to do it more.
Yeah, I remember they put her in the tank, and she's floating around in the tank, he sees her, he's still trying to hit it.
He's thinking to himself, she can hold her breath for a long time.
Yeah. Alright, let's move on to Police Academy, which is appropriate for that situation.
Yeah, there's a blowjob joke in Police Academy. You remember where Commander Lasarge is, like, at the podium, and he gets blown by, like, a hooker that Mahoney put there?
Yeah, that's right.
Mahoney! It's got Punky Brewster's dad in there.
Yeah.
Oh, Punky.
Bobcat didn't show up to the second one, right?
I don't think he showed up till, like, the fourth one? Which one's Citizens on Patrol? Anyways, Police Academy is another thing we can point to, like Children of the Corn, where it just had a billion sequels.
Yeah.
It had like 8 of them, maybe? Which one's Mission to Moscow? 8?
I don't know. I didn't keep up with it that far. But I know for a fact that they actually did talk about bringing it back eventually.
They had once again, this had a cartoon. It also had a TV show.
Yeah, but I think they talked about bringing back another TV show or making another live-action movie.
Man, fucking Hightower died like last year.
Yeah.
It's going to be impossible. You're not going to be able to get that cast back together. Get Shaq. Where's Michael Winslow at?
Guess Shaq, he's not doing anything.
I think Michael Winslow was in the TV show. He was like the police officer in charge or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Police Academy, like I bought it recently. I guess in my mind I confused a lot of what happens in the movie, in the other movies with the first one.
Yeah.
But still pretty good. It kind of has like a weird, like you could tell the 80s aren't ready to tackle like homosexuality.
Yeah.
When they trick the other officers to go to the gay club.
Yeah. Also... You could tell that it turned into a family-friendly franchise, but that's not how it started off as.
No, it definitely didn't start off like that. Yeah. Like we said earlier, blowjob joke. There's fucking gay jokes. There's all kinds of beating women jokes.
What the fuck, 1984? What the fuck?
What did you produce?
I don't remember this movie at all. I remember it was similar to Indiana Jones. To a certain extent. Romancing the Stone.
like, I barely remember it myself, but I put it on there. It was, what, Michael Douglas?
Yeah.
But I put it on there because it was trying to be Indiana Jones. Like, it's to point out, and people like Romancing the Stone for what it is. Like, it's not a terrible movie. I just remember at the time thinking it was, like, dick riding Indiana Jones, if anyone still says that.
Yeah. Dick riding?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe jocking? That sounds worse. I'd rather say dick riding, though.
Yeah, dick riding sounds a lot better.
It was biting off.
It was biting. It was ripping off. It was riding.
Yeah.
Kind of the same thing as dick riding. Now you're just being more specific on what they're riding.
Yeah. Being more crude, which I guess.
Yeah.
You don't have to be crass for everything.
It was all up on, as some people say.
Yeah.
In North Korea, from where I'm from.
So you're a communist?
We're not talking about my past.
Look, I escaped for a reason. All right. And, what are we talking about? I forgot what movie we were on.
We're talking about Romancing the Stone, the movie we both don't know anything about.
I literally haven't seen it since it was on VHS. Like I said, I only put it on there to kind of show the influence that Indiana Jones had on kind of movies.
Yeah, because it was no Temple of Doom, but it did actually... I guess they still show it.
Well, it's no Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Well, Temple of Doom was awesome, though.
Whoa. Temple of Doom came out this year.
Did it?
Yes.
Oh, we'll get to that later. It was no Raiders of the Lost Ark. So, yeah, it just kind of, it lives on, in a way. They still show it on TV.
Like I said, it's not a bad movie.
It's not bad, yeah. It just, he had that influence. And no one was doing anything like Indy at the time.
Not at the time, no. After Indy, you got all kinds of, like, Crocodile Dundees and shit.
Yeah, which I want to do a show on one day. Crocodile Dundee retrospective.
Oh, man, I can't wait till he goes to L.A.
I enjoyed that.
Did you...
I did it. I enjoy it. He's fucking old.
Where he stabs the robot snake and shit.
Yeah, why not? Why not? He stabs everything else.
That's not a knife.
All right, let's move on to Friday the 13th, the final chapter. I don't remember all the Friday the 13ths in the best order. I do remember that 7 had the psychic chick.
Yeah.
18 with the New York, and then so forth. You already know what happens after that. This is part 5?
4. Right?
Cause I know one of them.
Okay.
I think he dies in this, and then one of them has a false Jason.
Yeah, that's part 5 with Roy, the ambulance driver.
Because the 6 is Jason Lives.
Yeah, 1 is his mom. 2 is officially him with the sack on his head.
3
is where he gets the mask. 4 is where he dies. Which is kind of funny that we're talking about, like, we don't know which Jason movie it is.
Yeah.
When this is the final chapter.
Yeah.
They're like, you know what? 84, we're done. Cut to, like, 2002, Freddy versus Jason.
Well, I guess the whole idea of it was they did part 5 anyway, and you're supposed to be like, is he dead or not? Because this is before we knew he comes back.
I mean, well, technically he came back from 3, where he quote-unquote died. Remember he got hung out of the barn?
Yeah, but as we know, that won't stop Jason.
Well, now we know it wouldn't stop Jason. Yeah.
But we had a definite ending, I think, with him taking a machete to the head or something.
Yeah, he even, like, slides down on the blade a bit.
Yeah.
This also points to how big we thought Corey Haim was going to be. Corey Feldman.
Yeah.
Because he's the one who kills Jason.
Does his character come back as the killer in part 5?
Sort of.
Like, it's not really him, but someone playing his character.
Well, he shows up in, like, a flashback, and then it's supposed to be his character, like, grown up.
Yeah.
And at the end, they sort of hint that
he's going to be in the next one.
Yeah, but... That gets dropped.
Yeah, it gets dropped. They're like, look, we need actual Jason. They're like, but he's dead. Fuck it, bring him back.
Yeah. So, make him alive.
Yeah, make him. Then get Jason Lives. Which, unlike Superman Lives, actually made it to production.
Minus Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
This could have used some Nicolas Cage.
It could have used Nicolas
But
could totally used some Nicolas Cage.
Once again, fucking franchise moving on.
Yeah.
It didn't really start here, but it just kept going. Like, this is part 4. There's fucking 10 official movies.
Yeah, officially, yeah.
So, like, another 6 were made. Fucking, we thought Corey Feldman was the next big thing.
Yeah.
And we even got a fucking remake. Once again, remakes.
Yeah, and even though that wasn't really good, they could have done better.
Yeah, but...
We'll talk about that in there.
I'm just counting remakes. We're on, what, 3?
Yeah. I don't exactly remember this movie completely because I was getting mixed up with the second one. But Breaking came out this year as well.
Well, Breaking's the one where they first get together. They get the group together. Yeah. Part 2 is they have to save the rec center.
Yeah, because I remember part two had Ice-T in it.
Part one has Ice-T.
Okay, so I was getting mixed up. Part one had Ice-T. No, he was in both, now I think about it.
Was he?
I think he was in both. I could be wrong. But I know one of them, one of the main characters dances on the roof to seduce a chick.
That's part two.
That's part two. Van Damme's in part one. With the slow clap.
Yeah, he's in his unitard.
Yeah.
And Ice-T's in the background singing a song about the two crews battling it out.
Yeah, in the background. I remember part two is he actually hits the stage. That's what it is.
Is it? Well, he's on the stage in the background.
I don't know. They blend in.
Like, part one does have Turbo. He does dance, like, while he's sweeping up.
Yeah.
And, like, the broom's floating around and all this shit. But part two, he, like, meets this, like, some sort of Latin girl.
Yeah, he's all about her.
Yeah, and then he, like, dances around the building there to kind of impress her.
Defies logic and gravity.
Yeah, through breakdancing.
Yeah.
To show you fucking how big fucking breakdancing was at the time. We get sort of two movies with breakdancing in it.
Yeah, this year. They never made a third one. You know, they never made a another one to finish the trilogy of breaking.
It breaks my mind.
Breaks my mind.
It breaks your heart. Yeah. It blows my mind to think.
It break that, it to your heart?
Yes. It electric boogaloo the shit out of me. It just blows my mind that they didn't think about bringing back breaking. Because we have all kinds of other dance movies. Why not breaking?
Don't fucking say that. Someone's going to listen to this podcast. They're going to do a remake of breaking.
I say do it.
No. You can't.
Why?
There's no way you can make that relevant in this time period.
It's just dancing. And plus, why not bring back dancing? Why not bring back breakdancing? I would
prefer a sequel to Breakin' than to actually try to remake it.
Breakin' 3, Live Free?
Maybe, I don't know. I mean,
and then Breakin' 4, Die Hard? No.
Live Free or Break Hard?
Okay, there's people who breakdance now. One of the Step Up movies has like a legitimate breaking crew in it. That... like, probably shouldn't be in a movie to where they would carry the movie. But I don't see a reason why you wouldn't just have people breakdancing as their main dance form in a movie. It's essentially Step Up, but with more breakdancing.
Yeah, I figured it'd just be... well, I guess. I guess I could remake it, but I figured it'd be kind of cool to make a sequel with the original cast and have, like, a new cast. Basically like Degrassi.
My God. No, it'll never be as good as Degrassi.
My God. 16 Candles. Moving on to that.
All right.
Well, that movie has a lot of classic moments. That's the same movie in which she gives someone her panties, right?
I forgot what it was.
And they also had the ending kiss or whatever.
Where they're sitting on the table with the birthday cake.
Yeah, so it has a lot of classic moments. It's one of the movies that defined the 80s, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I feel like people give more credence to Pretty in Pink.
Yeah.
But this was sort of the beginning of the John Hughes type of movie.
Yeah.
Well, not type, because he directed it, but it was sort of the beginning of John Hughes.
Yeah.
You know, Pretty in Pink, Breakfast Club would go on, shit like that. Some Kind of Wonderful, not as good.
Yeah, he had his own style that no one else was doing, and then everyone tried to copy later on down the line in life, but...
well, it was that sort of idea that, like, he's writing teenagers, like, not stereotypically, and they sound like real teenagers at the time.
Yeah. Do you just got it a lot better than other people?
I think where
he just spoke to actual teenagers. Like, for example, The Breakfast Club lives up to this very day as a movie that speaks to people way younger than us.
I think what he did was, instead of someone handing him a movie and saying, this is for teens, you know, make this for teens, and they're just like, fuck it, I'll just write whatever. I think he understood his characters and treated them as real people instead of just, I'm going to appeal to teens.
Yeah.
So, like, he could have made that same movie with, like, 20-somethings.
Yeah.
And it would have been just as good. Like, but, I don't know. I feel like he just treated them as real people. And not, like, you know, a comic book writer from the 70s. You know, make me a black character.
Yeah.
All right. So they're going to say jive shit or whatever.
Yeah. I made a character called Black Voodoo.
What?
And I was making up shit.
Oh.
He'll talk in some weird street slang.
Well, for an example, he's coming back in the Justice League. Vibe? Vibe was brought around in the 80s. He was a Latin guy. I don't think they officially said. He was like Mexican, Puerto Rican or something. and he wore like big hammer pants and like a fucking Michael Jackson jacket and would break dance all over the fucking place.
Yeah.
And he was just like super 80s to the point where he was a goddamn joke. And they were like, well, we're trying to appeal to kids with this bullshit. And everyone was like, fuck this character. Like, vibe went away forever.
So they're going to reach Jason?
Well, they have been.
He looks different, I'm assuming.
Yeah, a little bit. He still has his stupid sunglasses. He used to wear a scarf around his neck, and or like kind of a neckerchief.
Yeah.
I think ascot is what it's called.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
I don't know. But 16 Candles, good movie.
Yeah. Temple of Doom's the next one. And this is the sequel to the original, Raiders of the Lost Ark. This one has Indiana Jones in the beginning of it, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, which will travel later on to the other three sequels. Well, the two sequels. And I remember it wasn't the same type of movie. I guess you could say the first one, it was more realistic, even though it had, you know, sci-fi stuff happening in it, yeah, especially around the ending.
The Ark.
Yeah, but
don't look at it, Marion.
It was more... You think it was more geared towards kids?
Well, everyone claims it's more geared towards kids. I mean, they're
pulling out hearts and stuff, so...
I don't know, but stuff like that, like the big Arab dude fucking going into the grinder and, like, becoming a blood smear.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, you know, if you're appealing to kids, would you also have all this shit? Chilled monkey brains?
Yeah.
Like, as a kid, it was my favorite one, but I was a stupid-ass kid. This came out the year I was born. Like, what the hell do you expect from me?
What do you know, right?
Yeah. But, I don't know, like, people say it's the worst one. Like, thank God Crystal Skull came out to prove them wrong. But, it does, like, it's also a prequel to Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes, right, it is, right? Because he finds, yeah, it does, time period-wise, it is a prequel.
Yeah. And, believe it or not, Short Round, you know that little jar? The, like, body of Lao She or whoever they're looking for?
Yeah.
In the extended universe of Indiana Jones, yes, I'm going EU. Short Round eventually, like later on, goes and finds that same bottle, mm-hmm, as sort of like a tribute to Indy, because Indy like tried to track it down.
Yeah,
and I don't know, it's fucking, who cares? But like Temple of Doom, I like it. I think I still like it, but now, fucking Willie,
yeah,
the chick in there is annoying as fuck. Like, you want her to just die at every moment. You want any second to be her last breath.
Yeah.
She went on to marry Steven Spielberg, so of course he wasn't gonna cut her out.
Yeah.
And I don't know, man.
I can't think of his name. I want to say Steven Yeun. I could be wrong. He's the actor that plays Glenn from The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
He gets a lot of jokes about being Short Round.
Because of the baseball hat?
Because of the baseball hat. They're like, are you just Short Round now, growing up?
Dr. Jones, no time for love.
But I would love for it still, like, Shia LaBeouf.
Rick,
but it would have brought back
no
Short
more
Round.
Parachutes.
It would have been awesome. Brought back Short Round.
It would have been just as bad.
I mean,
yeah, I'm not a fan of Shia LaBeouf, but I feel like anybody they would have brought back for Crystal Skull.
Just the movie itself was bad, so...
Yeah, like I said, I don't think anything they could have done would have been any good. They brought back Marion and ruined her.
I saw a lot of stuff in the movie that I really did enjoy, but just like Die Hard, I said this about Die Hard, our review for that film, the recent one. It just does not fit in our time period.
Temple of Doom?
Well, from Crystal Skull.
Oh.
Like, just Indy does not fit in our time period. It kind of makes me afraid. Or what are they going to do with Han Solo?
Well, I mean, we can get into this some other time if we ever talk about the indie movies.
Yeah.
But Temple of Doom, people say is the worst. It's not the best, but I don't think it's god-awful the way Crystal Skull was.
I think it's awesome. I love the original trilogy. And I love them. Actually, I like The Last Crusade the least.
Do you?
Yeah, out of the actual real trilogy. I love that the least.
See, like Crystal Skull. Crystal Skull does have its goofy moments, like Shia LaBeouf becoming king of the monkeys, and you know, the ants that eat people,
and like the swinging.
Yeah, that's what I meant. King of the monkeys.
Oh yeah, that's right.
He can swing on vines so fast that he catches up to two cars.
Yeah.
And like the other movies had their, like, I'm kind of mixed on it because the other movies had their fucking stupid moments, like Last Crusade, where what's his name, Indy's dad uses his umbrella to, like, make the pigeons go into a plane's jets and fucking bring it down. Like, that's ridiculous as all fuck.
They had a cool tank fight where he's fighting on top of a tank. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, but they also had a cool plane fight in the first one. Like, pretty much the first one's the best.
And also, we go into Temple of Doom, had the bridge fight where they're on the bridge.
Yeah, like, with modern graphics, that would look a lot better. But at the time, it was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I think, what's funny is I think Temple of Doom has the most on-screen deaths.
Yeah, it does.
And it also has one of the best reveal shots of Indy. Like, where one of the dudes is whipping the shit out of those kids.
Yeah.
And he goes to raise his hand to, like, whip him again. And, like, he gets whipped, like, in his hand and drops it. And then you see Indy, like, backlit, and he's all in shadow and shit.
Yeah.
The sort of hero shot. That's sort of my go-to for when I think of Indy. And plus, like, the fucking minecart thing was cool.
Yeah, that was totally... They had a cool video game, too. Ian Jones at Temple of Doom had a Nintendo video game that was awesome.
That shit was hard. I remember having it.
Extremely hard. I've never seen this movie, but I own it. Once Upon a Time in America.
You own Once Upon a Time in America?
Yeah, I never watched it.
On what?
A regular DVD.
Do you have it here?
Yeah.
Oh, man, let me borrow that.
After the show.
But, all right. I bought Once Upon a Time in the West recently, and the only bad thing about Once Upon a Time in America, it's like 4 hours long.
Yeah.
It is long as fuck. But if you want to see a really good, like, sort of how The Godfather was, like, oh, especially Godfather 2, was sort of coming to America and making your way.
Yeah.
Like, through organized crime. Yeah. Like, Once Upon a Time in America is really fucking good at that. It's just long as all sin. But it's a Sergio Leone movie, who you might know from the Dollars trilogy.
Yeah.
Once Upon a Time in the West and shit like that.
Yeah.
So, it's got a lot of nice shots. It's fucking well acted. De Niro's in it, for example.
Yeah.
The music is awesome. Ennio Morricone, who did music from the new Django Unchained.
Yeah.
He did the Three Mules for Sister Sarah music. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm just throwing facts at you and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
It's really good. I'll just preface that by it's really long. And if you don't have... If you're the type of person who would see... maybe The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly and didn't like it or just felt like it moves too slow,
yeah,
you probably wouldn't like Once Upon a Time in America. But if you can watch that movie and appreciate it, you'll love Once Upon a Time in America.
Alright. I'll get to the next movie. I'm actually more interested in this than you. Star Trek 3, The Search for Spock. I know you're not a big Star Trek fan, but it did come out this year. It was actually the ending for a trilogy they were doing. Was it?
Nah, because...
I try to think. No, it was not the ending. It's the second one. They did the original Star Trek movie, but that didn't count to the trilogy.
Uh-huh, with V'ger?
Yeah, so... The trilogy goes... Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan. Star Trek III, Search for Spock. And...
Quest the Voyage for Peace? Home.
Quest for Peace is fucking Superman.
Oh yeah, that is.
Yeah, The Voyage Home is the third one in that little Star Trek trilogy that follows in canon. I mean, all the stories are in canon, but those are stories which, like, we actually do follow. They go out into space on a mission and actually do follow everything that's happening.
Yeah, Spock is sort of like the running through line of those movies.
Yeah. And this is at the Wrath of Khan, which he shot to Genesis. I think it's the planet they find.
Yeah.
That's not the name of the planet.
He runs into
It's the name of the device they made with Genesis, in which it brings life to dead planets.
Is that what it did? I just remember he ran in the little room.
Yeah.
And was like gonna sacrifice himself. You know, the needs of the many outweighed the needs of the few.
Yeah.
Type shit. And he runs in there and he's like, I'm gonna defuse this shit. So Ricardo Montalban in his plastic chest will win. And we get William Shatner going, of all my friends, he was the most human.
Yeah. But I think they shoot him to the planet or they shoot him out of space. And the Genesis missile they have goes off. And either creates the planet or it cures a dead planet. And I remember he's on it. And because it brings stuff back to life, it brought Spock back to life.
Is that what it is? I know Spock doesn't remember who he is or doesn't remember anything about...
Because he's rapidly growing through puberty until he reaches the age he was when he died. And as that's happening, they think he's totally fucking dead. So they're flying away. and doing their own thing, and they find out he's actually alive. And that's when what really sucks is Kirk finds out he has a son and Rafa Khan, solely for him to die in the next movie.
You know what, I'll bring in some more comedy in here with do you remember in TNG, like the Next Generation, every like few episodes they would always be like, hey Data, can you fuck women if you wanted to?
Yeah.
Like, what was up with that? How come they were always interested in Data's sex life? It was always like, Data, are you, huh?
Well,
and he would always go, I'm fully functional or something, like, I'm fully operational.
Yeah, basically they want to know if he had a hard disk, if you know what I mean.
But it was like, if you, there was what, like, 5 seasons of that? And like, every, like, 10th episode, they were like, so Data, can you fuck or what?
I guess they brought in, it went on for a while.
Yeah, it went on for a long time.
I don't think it's the longest one. I want to say it is, but I think actually maybe Voyager was, perhaps, or Deep Space Nine. I think it's Voyager, really. I could be wrong, but I know it's in between those two. It's between The Next Generation and maybe Voyager. It's the longest one. But I know The Next Generation is very long, and they just want to know if you can fuck. I don't know why, but I guess like the idea of it was every other episode or so, X amount of episodes, they need to bring it up for new viewers, maybe, who wonder. And the internet wasn't as prominent as it is now, if you want to know if Data could fuck or not.
And to add to our running count, this also went on to have other movies, and also had a remake, technically. Yeah.
Well,
quote unquote.
Yeah, kind of a remake. Reboot, I'm ready to say.
Either way, let's add it to our remake list of what, 5, 4? Yeah. I don't know, there was a lot of them.
I prefer reboot.
Who cares? You know what? I prefer reboot too. You know, go into the games. It's all computer generated.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about, the old cartoon and shit.
Yes, thank you for spelling it out for our audience.
Because I think I honestly do. That one 16-year-old who listens to us and learns all these curse words, I'm not going to know what you're talking about.
Do you really think he's going to learn cuss words from fucking this podcast?
He's like, shit. Piss.
Yeah, he's not
what
8.
What are these words?
He's 16. Think of what you were doing at 16.
Well, I mean, I was crappily masturbating at 16.
Think of what I was doing at 16. Do you think this kid hasn't done something like that?
Perhaps.
I think the story we alluded to earlier happened at 16. No, it didn't.
No. Did it? No, we were of age to go to a strip club.
I don't think we were technically of age.
Because
you had to be 21, and I was just like, I know these people.
No, I was old enough to drink, but you weren't.
Yeah, which is weird.
But you were able to get us into the club. We were there for another day.
Yeah, that's a hell of a story.
Hell of a story. I never seen this movie, Streets of Fire.
Oh, man. I love Streets of Fire because of how god-awful it is. Now, Streets of Fire sort of like inspired Japan for what they believe America is. Like I've said, like Double Dragon, Final Fight, that type of shit.
Yeah.
Like, they saw these, like, neon streets and fucking rockabilly music and motorcycles, yeah. And that's like, well, all of America must be like this. Now, if you, like, watch Streets of Fire one day, which I recommend you do, just out of curiosity, it's got a lot of things to like about it, and an equal number of things to hate.
Let's hear.
Okay. Everyone in this city owns a gun, because at the end, all the bad guys and all the good guys pull out rifles and shotguns and handguns at each other for like a giant standoff. Nobody gives a fuck what the police say because they're always there going, you better leave town, Cody. And he never does. They literally tell him like 5 times. Willem Dafoe wears giant vinyl overalls. He works at like a, or he owns like a club that has the world's worst stripper. Like, she's fucking super skinny, has no tits or ass, but is showing them off anyways.
Showing off back, I guess.
Showing off hip bone.
Showing off hip bone and chest, bare chest, bird
and,
chest.
And showing off ribs.
Yeah.
She has a nipple on a rib. And, and the one thing I said would sell you on this, even though you probably shouldn't watch it, Willem Dafoe and the main character have a sledgehammer fight.
Whoa!
They literally get into a fight, like, they show up with their motorcycles, and they're like, let's end this. And he throws a sledgehammer at him, and he picks it up, and they get into a fucking sledgehammer fight.
I'm going to put that on our page.
Oh, come on.
Just Streets of Fire, just a sledgehammer fight.
If you can find it. Is it, like, Now, all of that sounds fun. It sounds like fun in a stupid way. We get Rick Moranis being a racist and an asshole.
Which is kind of weird.
Yeah, because you would never assume. I remember when I saw it, I was like, really? Are you fucking kidding me with this Rick Moranis?
Was he pulling off with this? Because I always imagine him being similar to... Every time I think of Rick Moranis, I think of him as either being, you know, Lewis for Ghostbusters or for Little Shop of Horror. He's basically kind of the same character.
He's kind of just like this nerdy put-upon guy.
Yeah. He's like, listen up, you black fella. I don't like you around here.
What is he, Irish? Listen up, fella. I don't know. But he's like a slimy executive type.
Yeah.
Which was popular in the 80s. And it's really weird to see him as this kind of like asshole.
Yeah.
Especially if you only know Rick Moranis from shit that we know him from.
Yeah.
Playing like a nerd.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I want to tell people to go watch it, but I don't want anyone to see it because I think they'll hate it.
Is it a bad movie?
Yes.
It's a horror movie. So basically, watch it if you want to watch a bad movie. Have a bad movie night.
Like,
or so, drinking night.
Like, if you've already seen, like, Lone Wolf McQuade and I've already seen, like, Action USA and...
Yeah.
Fucking Showdown in Little Tokyo.
Yeah.
It's one of those. Like, it's stupid, stupid action, stupid fun.
Okay. So I guess it's hit or miss, depending on what you're looking for.
Okay, I like it in sort of a Troll 2 The Room sort of way. I like it for how dumb it is. It has great music. It's got great fights and shit in it. Like I said, sledgehammer fight. It's got funny shit that you could laugh at. But at the same time, like, it's not a must-watch movie. I don't know. It's hard to explain.
You go your whole life without seeing it and nothing would happen.
Yeah. But if you have seen it, I think there's at least one thing to appreciate. Now, whether or not you want to spend 90 minutes on it is a whole nother story.
Okay. Another street movie I haven't seen, Beat Street.
Oh, man. Beat Street, like Breakin', is about being an urban kid in the 80s. There's tagging and breakdancing and rapping and scratching on records. This kind of goes along like Breakin'. It's sort of that, like, hey, we don't understand the urban youth of today, so let's make a movie to show them we're cool.
Yeah.
Sort of like, it's not exactly a Crush Groove. You know, yeah. You don't have Rev Run, Daryl McDaniels, and fucking, what's his name? I was going to say Jam Master J.
LL Cool J?
No, who's the...
I think he was in it as well, the Fat Boys.
Yeah, he was in it. Like, this doesn't have anybody. It's, like I said, it's kind of just, it's about scratching and... tagging up shit and breakdancing around.
But it doesn't have any substance, does it?
I like it because it's dumb. I like it the way I like Breakin'.
Okay.
You know, it's not fun the way The Last Dragon is, but it's still kind of... It has its moments. If you want to be like a purist, if you're part of the African-American cinema club like I am, you would have had to have seen it eventually.
All right, the next movie we actually already talked about. We actually had an episode dedicated solely to it. So we're not going to spend that much time on it, but Ghostbusters.
So, Ghostbusters, it had a sequel event, like, eventually, had a video game.
Yeah.
Like, some of the other...
It had plenty of video games, to be honest, but it only had, like, one really, really good video game.
Yeah, that came out, what, like, a few years ago?
Yeah, so, not going to spend too much time on it. If you want to hear more about Ghostbusters, go listen to another fucking episode.
And, yeah, good movie, good podcast, I guess.
Yeah, great podcast on it. Talked about the merchandise, cartoons, and the... what was it called? The drink they had?
Ecto Cooler.
We touched on all of that. But we have to throw it out there because it was released. It was, in fact, released this year.
Yeah.
So, we had to touch on it. All right. Another thing that's kind of crazy is the fact that another movie released the same day of Ghostbusters.
Literally the
same day. Gremlins.
Man, Gremlins is so good. Like, and it's funny because you would think a goofy movie with puppets and shit, but...
Yeah.
It's got such a mean streak underneath it for a kid's movie that it's just fucking... You could watch it now.
I don't think it was meant to be a kid's movie. I think Part 2 was more meant to be a kid's movie than the first one.
Part 2 was supposed to be like sort of a fuck you to the people who criticized the first one, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's even a...
Remember the spider
gremlin? Spider gremlin?
That's in Part 2, though.
The gargoyle gremlin, the electric gremlin.
Yeah,
Nicki Minaj is in it, yeah.
But I love the first one. I really love the first one. Remember what are they called? Furbies? Or what are they called? It's like those little... They look just like Gizmo.
I don't... Furbies, I guess?
I want to say it's Furbies. They look just like them. And they eventually decided, oh, well, we're basically ripping them off anyway. We get the license for it and make just Furby gizmos.
Did they?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, man, I gotta get me one of those.
It looks like Gizmo, but it's a Furby, which is not that much different from Gizmo to begin with.
So if you have a gremlin on the Concorde, which I don't think the Concorde is around anymore. It was a plane that would go from New York to the UK, like in a few hours. If you feed a Mogwai on like a plane that's traveling across time zones, can you still do it, or are you still bound by the law of don't feed after midnight?
I think it's still bound by the law. I don't think there's no other way around it.
Yeah, but who sets the time of day? Like, because Gizmo's not from fucking New York or wherever the hell they're at. Chicago?
Well, I don't know. I don't know how daylight saving times fuck with them. I don't know how everything works. Like, time zones fuck with them.
If you're on a leap year.
I have no idea, but, you know, whatever the case. Don't fucking do it. Don't film around this time.
Just don't do it at all.
Yeah. Just don't do it. Bad things happen. Why was the Asian guy keeping them the whole time anyway?
Yeah, you would think you would like hide the Mogwai away. Yeah. You weren't gonna sell it anyways.
I think he totally sold them, didn't he?
No, remember he didn't want to. He was all like, he's not for sale. And somebody like stole him.
Yeah.
And brought him out to like sell to the dad.
Yeah.
And he eventually showed up at the end to take him away. How did he end up with Gizmo anyways in part two if the guy took him away?
I don't know. That's kind of weird.
Funnily enough, the voice of Gizmo, Howie Mandel.
Really?
Yeah.
It does. Now I think about it, it sounds like Bobby.
Yeah.
All right. The next week after Ghostbusters and Grimace dropped on the same day, we get The Karate Kid.
Again, remade. Also went on to have a lot of sequels.
Yeah.
And The Karate Kid, directed by the same guy who made Rocky.
The first one?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
You can see a lot of kind of Rocky in The Karate Kid. But The Karate Kid is good. Like, it's another really good movie. Maybe because I grew up with it, but it's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. The Karate Kid that they released a few years ago, would you have rather it have been a remake or just considered a sequel?
Well, it is a remake. Because
it's a remake, but even though they changed a lot about it, it's considered a remake. Even though they don't even do karate. We're not going to get on that.
Yeah.
You know, Kung Fu around the world, everywhere else, but in America, we're stupid. It has to be karate.
Well, they also bought the rights to it and shit. Of course, you're going to try to cash in. But should they have made it a sequel? No. Daniel LaRusso's like fucking 40. He was like 20 when they made the movie.
No, I mean like considered it a sequel instead of saying it's just a remake.
I think it would have been shit on the same way. Like, regardless. Why bother?
Yeah, I hear it's good. I just never seen it.
I hear it's okay.
Yeah.
But either way, like, I've seen The Karate Kid. I don't.
I don't need to see another. I don't need to see Kung Fu.
Yeah, I don't need to see the Kung Fu Kid.
Yeah.
If you show me the Capoeira Kid, then maybe I'll watch it.
They were talking. I mean, Jackie Chan with a standalone mustache. They almost had me.
He's got a young boy in his backyard, keeps telling him, jack it off. I mean, what are you. I think I can pass.
Oh, let's talk about the actual Karate Kid. Before we move on,
Elizabeth Shue was in it. She was hot.
Yeah.
She was 21, so I can get away with saying that. She went on to be in Back to the Future 2.
Yeah.
Another shit that we've seen. I don't know. It's just good. Like, it's hard to talk about movies that are really good.
Yeah, great movie. And then what was it? No More Kings? Made a song, Sweep the Leg.
Yeah, the whole Sweep the Leg, fucking Get Him a Body Bag.
Yeah.
Wax On, Wax Off. All that fucking lived way past the movie.
Yeah. I've been in places where, like, dude, you know, this is done. Just sweep the leg, bro.
Yeah. I've heard Wax On, Wax Off forever.
Yeah. Rhinestone, next movie.
All right, we can go real quick on this. I think Dolly Parton is awesome. Just her life in general.
Yeah.
Because she's like, you know what? I'm going to get into country music because I have giant breasts.
Yeah.
And she fucking did it.
Yeah. I saw her on Hannah Montana back when that was still going on and shit.
What the hell are you watching Hannah Montana for?
Look, we're not talking about what I do in my spare time. We're talking about Dolly Parton. And I just happened to see her on Hannah Montana as one of, like, I think her grandma or somebody, her aunt, whatever, family member.
It's some country music star from the past.
Still looks fuckable.
Yeah. You know what? Give me a call, Dolly Parton, if you're out there.
I know she wears a wig. She admits that she wears a wig, so who knows what's under there.
Well, who knows what her boobs are made of these days?
Yeah.
I'll do it for the story. Give me a call, Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton and fucking who else stands up as totally fuckable to this very day?
I'd have to think about it.
I still fucked the original Wonder Woman.
Linda Carter?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's hot. Have you seen her in Super Troopers? Still looking good. You know what? Linda Carter, give me a call as well.
Foxy Brown.
Oh, Pam Grier?
Yeah.
She's looking hot too. Still fuck Pam Grier. She put on some weight. Guess what? I'm cool with that.
Yeah, that's probably fine. She still gets... Some of her older pictures are still put up online for like modeling websites. It's even put up for calendars. They're putting in calendars still to this very day.
Or like when dudes are like, this is only a web, like this is only a page for posting hot chicks.
Yeah, they still put Pam Grier.
Yeah, you get a Pam Grier every once in a while.
Yeah. Top Secret. Did this have a wrestling match in it at one point?
No.
Or maybe I'm thinking the wrong thing. Is this a movie with Val Kilmer?
Yes.
It had a fucking wrestling match in it.
Did it? Yeah. I own Top Secret. I don't remember a wrestling match.
Close around the end of it, they start fighting somewhere, and it turns into a fucking wrestling match, kind of.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Was it when they were underwater?
No. It was like they raided a base. It's one of the one close around the ending. They were raiding a base. It turned into a fucking wrestling match somehow.
I like Top Secret. It is kind of dated. A lot of the jokes are dated. They were kind of at the time. But if you like Airplane and that kind of shit, Naked Gun, it's along the lines of that.
Yeah.
Like, it has jokes you would have to see to really, like, get... I could tell you them, but you'd be like...
It won't be the same impact.
Yeah.
Okay, the next movie, I actually feel like a lot of people tried to copy it. Even, you know, either as recently as movies like Superbad and Hangover. You know, not exactly, but similar. With things being wild and crazy. Or throughout Bachelor Party.
Like, I don't want to say it's the first kind of, like, crass comedy. Where it's like, we're going to talk about, you know, just whatever the hell we want. There's a goddamn donkey show in it, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
You could tell they were going out for, like, let's just
be crazy.
Yeah, let's just have a crazy comedy.
Yeah.
And again, Tom Hanks, who we saw earlier in Splash, trying to fuck a mermaid.
Yeah.
This time, I don't think he fucked anything.
I can't remember trying to fuck anything.
There was a donkey show.
Yeah, he was there for that, I guess.
He got it together. Like, fucking Clerks 2 references Bachelor Party with the donkey show.
Yeah, they do. It kind of makes me wonder, like, his... If you look at the same character. trying to fuck mermaids and putting donkey shows together.
He's telling the mermaid, look, I have to go to a friend's party.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen. You know, take a shower. It'll be all right.
If he turns on the mermaid and she gets wet, does she take the legs and turn into a fence again?
I guess it's blowjobs again, baby. I don't know. Don't put those seashells on. I need something to touch.
God, what happened to this show?
Were we ever highbrow?
Not much you can say about that, right?
I remember thinking it was funny. Like, yeah. Bachelor Party did have a sequel.
Yeah.
I just haven't seen it in a while.
Didn't have a straight-to-DVD sequel?
Like a third one?
I remember they made a Bachelor Party.
They made a part two. That was
fairly recently.
Did they?
Yeah.
I didn't know about that.
Well, I didn't see it, but I think they did make another one fairly recently. I could be wrong.
It wouldn't surprise me, I'll say that.
Yeah, they made a Christmas story.
Well, also with, like, shit like The Hangover, that kind of let's be, like...
Yeah.
You know, like a rude comedy, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
I don't see why you wouldn't go back to the Bachelor Party well.
Yeah. All right, we're actually out of time for this episode. We have to continue in next episode in our part two of a retrospective of 1984. So don't forget to like us on Facebook. Don't forget to check us out. And rate and review us on iTunes. Please download us. I'm Notorious J.I.M.
And I'm Julian.
And I bid you a good day.